The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We're back for hour two at 6:06, and it's very nice to have you along. Our phone number, 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. Coming up in a minute, we're going to talk about election integrity. But before we do, we see that Donald Trump is live on stage. Let's dip in for just a minute to the Trump rally in Waco.
How stupid are we? We're going to be living with this for so long, but we're going to get as many as we can. We're going to get ICE on the road because ICE and Border Patrol, guys like Tom Homan, who I saw yesterday, is fantastic. And
so good to dip in and out. This thing's been going on for about an hour. Donald Trump has already solved the border crisis, the drug crisis, the cartel crisis, the Ukraine war, the Biden economy, the high interest rates, the high energy prices, and he's just getting warmed up. So very, very fascinating. And I'm excited to see Donald Trump doing his first presidential rally. I wish other people would gear up, because there is nothing better than a vigorous primary. And, you know, if you're going to try and take out the king, you better not hit and miss. So it should be very, very spirited, to say the least. We talked about in the first hour this upcoming guest and this tweet that I tried to put up to announce the topics of the show today. So let's bring up Ned Jones. The deputy director of the Election Integrity Network at the Virginia Institute for Public Policy. Ned, thanks for giving us some time on your Saturday night. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Randy.
For people who don't know or are new to the show, I talk about it regularly. I got to know you through these weekly national election integrity calls, and they're just so very powerful, because what we're seeing going on is that around the country, organization after organization is coming into existence, coordinating with other people. And finally, for the first time in my at least political lifetime, going on about 12 years, we're actually looking ahead to try and see what the Democrats are going to do next to steal an election, instead of just waiting to see what they do and then seeing if there's anything we can do about it after the fact.
That's right. You know, and we've led the effort around the country to get citizens, concerned citizens, involved in what we call the election process. You know, conservatives have always been involved in campaigns with candidates. We've, you know, knocked on doors, made phone calls, given our resources, and we left the process of running elections up to others. And I think 2020 showed us what those others could do when they ran our elections with very little oversight or scrutiny. And so now we have millions of Americans around the country who are getting involved in the process of fixing our elections.
And I think it's very, very important. I always try and make sure I play this every single week or anytime I'm on the air, filling in or just doing my show.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machine.
It's been going on for a long, long time.
Yes, sir. It sure has. And we're starting to unravel it, fortunately.
Yeah, I'm really appreciative of the work that's going on from the Republican National Committee down to these local groups, one or two people that are just getting together, starting to organize, figuring out how to make use of FOIAs, Freedom of Information Act requests, actually beginning to understand the laws, figuring out what's, you know, constitutional, not constitutional, using the courts, using social media. I mean, we have basically just allowed ourselves to be victimized year after year after year, and especially as a result of 2020, those days are over.
That's exactly right. You know, and what our organization did is we went around the country last year having summits about election integrity and forming what we call statewide coalitions, like we had in Virginia in 2021. Right after 2020, we had to get prepared for a statewide election immediately and formed an election integrity coalition. got involved in the election process, recruited an army of observers and workers that were well-trained, knew exactly what was going on. During our incredible 45 days of in-person voting, if you can imagine.
Jeez.
And then we took that on the road in 2022, had eight of the summits, and then we've now helped coalitions form in about 20 states. And we have a great one in Colorado, and it's growing every week. They're getting involved in the local election process. And it's a great way for people who want to do something to get involved in helping to fix our elections.
Yeah, it really is. And these off-year elections are, you know, they're like boot camp. This is the run-up to the presidential. Last year was a midterm. So when you get to these off-year elections where it's, you know, school boards and city councils, extremely important races. But it's also an opportunity to get that organization together, see how things work actually on the ground, and be better prepared for the big show in 2024.
Right. And, you know, I have to be nonpartisan, so I call them progressives. But the other party, they never rest. They're always thinking of new ways to infiltrate our elections and new programs. I call them schemes. But there's several that we're tracking this year as we look at 2024.
Several is kind of an understatement. It's like drinking out of a fire hose just on those hour calls every week. It's hard to keep up with everything that's going on. So before we jump into some of that, and then also bring it home, I just want to read to you the tweet that I put up that got flagged. This was a tweet to, and people are already texting and asking, how do we sign up for these election integrity calls? And they are not wide open to the public, but there are ways for people to get involved. So I guess what I would say to this particular texter is just send me an email. Write to me at my Republican National Committee man email, rbcforcolorado@gmail, rbcforcolorado@gmail, because we've got to grow these networks just as fast as we can. But back to this tweet. You're not going to believe this, and they didn't erase it. Where'd it go? Come on now. I don't know how to use my phone Twitter very well. Here, I'll go to my computer. Live radio at its best. But listen to this. I posted this now 2 hours ago. Anybody wonder what CTCL board member and former GOP candidate for Colorado Secretary of State Pam Anderson has been up to since getting creamed by 13%? Not pretty. Tonight, Saturday, 5 to 8 p.m. Mountain, 710 KNUS, or grab the free podcast anytime after. Plus, we'll ask this very important question. If real Donald Trump is arrested, would you buy and wear a Trump mugshot t-shirt? I was just joking. We'll also tell you why the New York case is donkey crap. And Ned, I think for the first time, and by the way, if anybody knows Elon Musk, please have him call me. I want this taken care of right away. But even prior Twitter, I don't think I ever had a warning stuck on a tweet. And this popped up the second I posted this thing. And so I clicked on the appeal, and it says that it violates their sensitive media policy. So I clicked over to the sensitive media policy. And here's what it says. Graphic content, adult nudity and sexual behavior, violent sexual conduct, bestiality and necrophilia. Now, I know, you know, Pam Anderson got the crap beat out of her, but that was electoral. That was just an electoral defeat. Gratuitous gore. Those are the categories that caused that tweet to be given a warning. Have you ever experienced such a thing? It's crazy.
It's amazing what goes on, and that doesn't make any sense at all.
It makes me wonder if I've been being shadow banned for a long time, and this is the first time I had evidence that there's some kind of a monitor or filter on my account, because it was instantaneous nobody had time to report it. It just happened as soon as I put it up there. So
I'm not sure how that works. That's their system doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane.
And it doesn't make sense.
So I told the audience in the first hour when I was talking about my conversation with you, and I reminded them that Colorado was the starting point for Democrats. The blueprint was implemented here. Great book, easy, fast read about it. And then they took the blueprint to Virginia. How did the Democrats change Virginia's election laws and temporarily, at least, take over your state?
Well, what happened in, I think it was 2013, but it might have been 2009 when they started the process. But eventually they had the entire legislature, they had all of the state offices, and they went and changed all of our election laws. We have no ID, 45 days of in-person voting, and also 45 days of no excuse absentee vote by mail. Same-day registration for a live ballot. And they put all of this in place in the period of those 8 years to just change everything. And so what happened in 2021, we got involved and, like I said earlier, created this army of observers. We got involved in the process. We monitored election offices all over the state all year long because the infrastructure that we talk about is all year, every year, not just around elections. You just have to maintain contact with election officials because they're changing things all the time, and you have to keep track of that. But we were able to flip the state back. We got a conservative governor, attorney general, lieutenant governor, and half of our legislature back. So we're halfway there. We'll see what happens this year when our legislature, the complete legislature, is up for re-election or up for election again.
And all of a sudden, when the light gets shined, we find ways to push back, don't we?
That's right. You know, because what they did, they took the charitable contribution rules to nonprofits and turned it around so that they were using it to fund election activities under the guise of educating voters, registering voters, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just like giving to your church. There's a tax deduction. It's a charitable contribution. So when Mark Zuckerberg and his wife gave $330 million to CTCL in 2020, they got a tax write-off for a charitable contribution, just like they were giving it to a church.
And then what happened with that money? Because this is where we narrow it down toward Pamela Anderson. Pam Anderson.
Right. Pam Anderson on the board of CTCL, they're the ones who distributed those funds from Zuckerberg and his wife. And they distributed them directly to 2,500 election offices around the country in the form of grants. Now, this was during COVID, and the scheme was the funding was needed because of all the issues with COVID, the additional vote by mail, PPI, and so forth. But that isn't what it was used for. If you go to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, they opened up 100 remote offices where you could go in and fill out a ballot and someone would deliver it to the election office. They put drop boxes in key locations to drive the vote with people with absentee, well, we call them absentee ballots, vote by mail or drop box ballots. And what they did, they turned it into a massive get out the vote scheme in key Democrat areas. 90% of the funding went to locations that Biden won. And I checked. I'm not sure if this is accurate, but I found this on a list that Colorado only got $750,000 in the program. Virginia got $4 million. Other states got in the $30 to $40 million range. I mean, this is huge money, around $330 million total. And it had a huge impact on the 2020 election.
Yeah, they didn't need to invest much in Colorado. Not at the moment. I mean, we're all mail ballots. We're same-day voting right up to the time of the election. You can bring your utility bill as your ID. I mean, it's just it's ridiculous. And you said $320 million. I have heard and often said $420 million. I just popped
up. Yeah, what happened was
– go ahead.
It was $350. First it was $250, and then they added $100 million, and it was $350. And they also donated $70 million to the Center for Election Innovation and Research.
Ah.
And that's Pam Anderson is also on the board there. Now, that gets the total of $420. Then what we did is we analyzed the 990 reporting forms for 2020 when they finally came out in 2022. And what we found was the offered grants did not total the actual grants that were given. And so now we see a number, I believe it's $328 million to CTCL and like $69 million to CEIR. So it brings the total to right around $400 million.
just perusing this Wall Street Journal article, picking Georgia. This is from the Capital Research Center. The tally for Georgia from CTCL Zuckerbucks to pick one state shows average grants of $1.41 per head in Trump areas and $5.33 per head in Biden areas. They gave,
and that's only for the general. They came back, and you recall there was a runoff that year. They came back with $10 million more for the runoff, all in Democrat areas, you know, DeKalb, Fulton, Atlanta area. They really impacted the Georgia election in 2020.
New York City got $19 million. A Trump county in Mississippi got $347,000. So that's how someone like Pam Anderson, who was on this radio station time after time after time, could come and say, well, we gave that money to both parties. We offered this money to, you know, clerks and recorders or voting administrators. And, you know, we couldn't decide or choose who took it, but we did offer it to everybody. But that's just part of the scam as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, it is. 90% of the money went to jurisdictions that Biden won. I mean, it's that simple. And that's around the country. And Capital Research Center, who you quoted, they're the ones. I mean, they're a great resource for this kind of data on nonprofits. And they run a website called Influence Watch, which has a write-up for all of these nonprofits and a lot of current information. But the latest scheme that Ms. Anderson is involved in, let me
pause you right there, because we're at a break, and I know it's Saturday night, but I would love it if you could stay with me for one more segment, because talking with Ned Jones, Deputy Director of Election Integrity Network, the Virginia Institute for Public Policy. He's in real deep on these numbers, and it's very interesting how I heard about what was going on with Pam Anderson, and we'll talk about all of it when we return here on 710 KNUS. 6:27 on your Saturday night. We've got a president who lied about his daddy.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machine.
And then we've got a putative president who sat in his basement.
So today, I applaud China for stepping up. Excuse me, I applaud Canada. You can tell what I'm thinking.
And, of course, his highly qualified press secretary.
We're seeing almost 11 jobs created under this president. We're seeing almost 11 jobs created under this president.
And then we've got a president who literally changed the world.
We will soon be a great nation again. It was hardworking patriots like you who built this country, and it is hardworking patriots like you who are going to save our country.
And I got to tell you, when I was with President Trump, what is it now, three or four weeks ago, and, you know, I've told the story. We talked mostly about my wife and her health issues and some of that, but totally calm, totally energized, looking good, sounding good. Shaking hands. I heard he was a germaphobe. This is the first time I've been with him and talked to him. First time I got to be one on one or shake his hand, and I didn't see any resistance to it. So, this election season is going to be fantastic, but we're only going to get a just outcome and a fair outcome if we challenge everything that the Democrats have done to turn our election system, our election process, on its head. Nobody who is on this side of the microphone on a Saturday night who was invited on as a guest wants anything but fair, open, honest elections with a clear process, with transparency, with an ability to audit and check and make sure that only legally eligible citizens of this country are casting their votes and that those votes are only being counted one time. So I'm so excited to be a part of just so many different organizations. The RNC is doing tremendous election litigation. People always complaining about the RNC and what they don't do, but money is being spent. Victories are being won from Supreme Court on down, and those fights are continuing. And then we've got amazing heroes like Ned Jones in Virginia, the deputy director of the Election Integrity Network, Virginia Institute for Public Policy, who are really living and breathing these issues all around the country, and it's already making a difference. In fact, Ned, you undoubtedly know this, but in 2022, the only losses that get publicity, or, you know, the Georgia runoff and Kerry Lake in Arizona and the few losses. I think a Donald Trump endorsement rate of like 228 victories to 20 losses is virtually unheard of. But setting aside Trump, or whether you like him or not, Republicans in 2022 won the popular vote in this country by almost, or maybe a tad over, 4 million votes. And if it would have been a presidential year, the Republican presidential nominee, based on the voting in 2022, would have won 297 Electoral College votes and would now be the president of the United States. So it's working.
Yeah, you're right. And I think it's all because citizens, conservative citizens, are getting involved in the process with oversight and with monitoring and scrutiny. And you know what happens when you do that. I think you said it earlier, sunlight is the best cure. So it is working. And it's going to take a while, and it's small steps, but it is working for sure.
Well, you know, people forget that, you know, oh, Trump lost the popular vote by 8 million. If you buy those numbers, okay. But he actually lost the presidency, even utilizing the numbers as they exist, as they're presented, as many people believe them to be. He lost the presidency by about 44,000 votes in just the right districts, in just the right states around the country. So that's how close 2020 was.
Yeah, when you look at it, they can win in six cities and control the Senate and the presidency. And it's Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, Milwaukee, Las Vegas, and Phoenix. I might have left one out. But the point is, the way it was done, especially with the Zuckerberg influence in those main cities, was enough to swing those states. And that's how they did it. Detroit, if I didn't say Detroit, that was the other one. But anyway, we're on that now. And so you know, we'll see what happens in 2024.
Yeah, absolutely. We were on this call together a week ago last Friday. And, you know, I've moved on from the 2022 Republican blowouts here in the state of Colorado, including Secretary of State candidate Pam Anderson, who lost her race by 13%. And, you know, I've been looking ahead, and all of a sudden, and you and I had never met, you and I had never talked. I've seen you on the calls. It's a Zoom call. I've seen your name in the chats and, you know, click on links when they're provided in the chat and everything. But all of a sudden, you're talking about Pam Anderson. And so I immediately reached out, and we couldn't get it scheduled for last Saturday. But go ahead now. You sort of teased it and teed it up before we went to the break. What is Pam Anderson up to now?
Well, it's the Center for Tech and Civic Life again. Last year, I believe it was in April, Mark Zuckerberg came forward in the midterms and said he was not going to make a charitable contribution in the midterm elections. However, in the next month, another group came forward, the Audacious Project, and provided a grant to CTCL, where Pam Anderson is on the board, to establish a program called the U.S. Alliance for Election Excellence. And what that is, it's a program run by CTCL and seven other left-wing nonprofit organizations. One is for profit, excuse me. And what they're doing is they're organizing election offices around the country by picking centers of election excellence, awarding them monetary grants wherein it's allowed by state law, and membership in the alliance. Now, the money is a lot less. It's only $85 million over the next 5 years. But the program is massive. Their goal is to organize 6,000 election offices around the country. And here's how it works. They offer this, quote, Center of Election Excellence, and they've picked 16 of them so far since November of last year, a monetary grant in states that haven't banned them. Now, 24 states banned third-party grants to election offices. And six more legislatures passed such a statute, but the Democrat governors vetoed them. But we do have 24 states where it's banned. So in states like California and Illinois, Michigan, North Carolina, Nevada, a couple of election offices in each state were offered the monetary grant and membership in the alliance. And then in Utah, Missouri, Arizona, and Georgia, there was a ban, but they still picked locations in those states. Now, Georgia is key. There was a ban in Georgia, but they circumvented the ban by giving the grant to the governing body, not directly to the election office. And so we think they're going to try to do this in every state, not just in states with a ban. And here's how it works. There's a monetary grant. The largest one so far is to Las Vegas, $3 million. There's a couple in the $2 million range on down to $500,000 in Greenwich, Connecticut. But the membership in the alliance is even more important. What it is, you join the alliance, you have to pay a fee, and you become a member. And then you get credits that you can use with the partners, these left-wing nonprofit organizations. And what you agree to is you agree to use them for coaching, for helping you administer elections, for all kinds of processes. And then you agree to give them your administrative policies, how you run your elections, what equipment that you use, and non-confidential data. And we're not sure exactly what that means. It sounds like voter information. And so the membership is even more important than the grants. And like I say, we think they'll be offering those around the country. And here's where Pam Anderson came into my research on this. I've been helping the people in Greenwich, Connecticut, deep blue Greenwich, Connecticut, who have fought back about accepting the grant and joining the membership. They call their election officials registrars. And so what the registrars did is they set up a Zoom call for anyone who wanted to get on. I did. And one of the presenters was Pam Anderson, board member from the Center for Tech and Civic Life. And what she did is she went on there to tell us how great the alliance was and how the Center for Tech and Civic Life was nothing about politics or partisanship. It was merely an organization that wanted to train election officials, that was more concerned about the process. And then she gave all the left-wing talking points, drop boxes, vote centers, which are horrible, instead of voting in the precinct, vote by mail, which even Jimmy Carter in 2005 said the easiest way for fraud to occur in an election is vote by mail. All of these things that she told us about on this call were the left-wing talking points. That's exactly why this membership is the worst part of this alliance. Because what they're going to be told by these other nonprofits that they're going to work with is exactly what she told that audience, that they're not in it for the politics. They're in it to change the process of how we run our elections. And, of course, those are the left-wing talking points. And then as I checked out Ms. Anderson, because I hadn't really known that much about her, she has a nonprofit, and the name is Consilium LLC, but I can't find that she's filed the proper paperwork with the IRS. You're supposed to file this 990 form if you're a nonprofit annually, and I can't seem to find that. So I don't know what her nonprofit does. She referred to it in the meeting that it does consulting for election offices. So I'm not sure about that.
Pam Anderson go ahead.
And she's also on the board of the Center for Election Innovation and Research. And I mentioned them earlier because they're the ones that distributed the additional $70 million of Zuckbucks in 2020. And they're the ones that have a partnership with ERIC, the Electronic Registration Information Center, which Colorado is part of, where you have to send voters' personal information to them. And they, in turn, share it with SEER, as we call it, the Center for Election Innovation and Research.
Yeah, there's a whole show to be done about ERIC.
There is, and that's why seven states have pulled out in the last few months.
I don't know how much time you have, but if you wanted to talk a little bit about ERIC, we'd need to take one more break, but I'd sure love to hear your take on it.
Yeah, sure.
And
because it's really important, and it's in the news now.
And you probably don't know that Pam Anderson worked as a clerk and recorder, which handles the voting in our counties here in Colorado, and was the favorite of the establishment Republican, the political class Republicans here in the state of Colorado, to run as secretary against our Democrat, really the head of the Democrat Secretary of State's organization, I think, very, very political, and had implemented tons of rules and regulations to make it harder for people to challenge the results of elections, find out anything about the machines, on and on and on. And so what does that tell you about the state of politics in Colorado when that person is the strong favorite of the establishment class of the Republican Party here?
Yeah, and I would say, to put it mildly, she's a progressive Republican. Not even forget moderate, but progressive. The ideas that she has and the organizations that she's associated with. When you look at who's funding these organizations, it's incredible. And, you know, they're all charitable contributions, just like they're giving it to a church. They get a big tax write-off.
Never, ever heard any of the radio hosts or, you know, the interviewers press her on it. And for some reason, she did say she'd come on my show, but she never actually made it before the election. And of course, I've got to tiptoe lightly as Republican National Committee man once she becomes the Republican nominee. But I also think it's my job and my duty and my right to tell the truth about people, or at least expose facts and let people draw their own conclusions.
Yeah, and you know, exposure is our greatest tool right now. That's what we have to do, because people don't understand exactly what has happened for the past many years with our elections. And so it's important that we let people know and educate them.
And isn't it funny, Ned, before we go to break, that that after the 2016 election, the Democrats were constantly talking about the stolen election. Hillary Clinton still talks about the stolen election. Hakeem Jeffries was one of the biggest proponents of the stolen election of 2016. And in years prior,
Stacey Abrams has never conceded. She still thinks she's the governor of Georgia.
Yeah.
They all did it.
Absolutely incredible. And yet we're told by Republican consultants and the establishment class that we just have to shut up. You got to move on from the elections or else we lose. And I'm so glad that Donald Trump is certainly not taking that advice, and I don't intend to either.
No, because there's so many lessons to be learned from 2020. That's the point. It isn't reliving the election. It's learning from it and going forward and looking at 2024 through the lens of 2020. That's what we have to do.
Without a doubt. And to be shamed into not talking about it, or threatened if we talk about it, or, you know, the lawfare that's going on against lawyers who talked about it, who were involved in lawsuits. I've been sued for defamation for talking about a machine issue. And that's part of the scheme. They've got unlimited money to throw at people, and they tie them up for years. These cases drag on for years and years and years. And when you've got unlimited money on the other side, I guess it's, you know, it's a great strategy, and the Democrats are very good with it. I know you can't comment on the Democrats themselves, but I don't know what's going on with my voice. We're going to take a break here. We'll return with Ned Jones, Deputy Director of the Election Integrity Network at the Virginia Institute for Public Policy, and we'll talk about ERIC, which is also constantly defended on this radio station. That's next here on 710 KNUS. We're back here at 647, and Satan is just simply striking me voiceless because I'm speaking too much truth here. We've been hearing from liars throughout the show. We heard from Barack Hussein Obama. We heard from creepy, sleepy Joe Biden. We heard from the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre. And this is one of those clips that I have to play every time I'm on the air here. Very, very short. The liar extraordinaire. Perhaps the liar of the century so far.
I didn't shut down anything. I recommended to the president that we shut the country down.
Was there some contradiction there?
I didn't shut down anything. I recommended to the president that we shut the country down.
Yeah. Okay. Just depends on what day it is, I guess. All right. If you have been a longtime listener, you know that I've been friends with Matt Crane, the former clerk and recorder of Arapahoe County, for a long time. I've defended him to people and always would. He's just a Boy Scout, as far as I know. And it was tremendous to work with him when he was the Arapahoe County clerk and recorder. But he comes on the station and defends ERIC, the Electronic Registration Information Center. And he's involved. He does not believe that, you know, certainly doesn't believe that the election was stolen in 2020. That's fine. And he supports all of the tools for manipulating an election's outcome that exist here in Colorado with starting with the drop boxes, the same-day registration, the all-mail-in ballots. They're a matter of convenience. They encourage and enable more people to vote. They do not keep the election clean. And he refers to ERIC, the Electronic Registration Information Center, as another tool for creating data that becomes available and makes it possible for more people to vote. But there is a much more serious and a much more dark side of ERIC, which is why states are getting rid of it, and nobody better than Ned Jones to tell us about it. Ned, thanks for sticking around, especially now that I seem to be losing my voice.
No, it's my pleasure. You know, there is a raging controversy now with ERIC, and I never repeat the names once they say them once because they're too darn long. But ERIC is another nonprofit left-wing organization, and originally when it was founded in 2012 at the Pew by a gentleman named David Becker, the funding for this effort came from Soros. And they formed the organization to, quote, clean up the voter rolls by comparing state-to-state voter rolls for duplication, finding dead voters, et cetera. And what happens, the member states would send their voter rolls to ERIC for this process. And in time, they got up to 31 states that were doing that. Now, the other part of the agreement is really where the controversy comes from. Part of the requirement was from your DMV records, you send ERIC a list of what they call eligible but unregistered voters. EBUs is what they call them. And those are people that are eligible to vote but have not, but chose not to register in the DM, you know, in the DMV. And what they did with that list, they sent that list to the Center for Election Innovation and Research, which David Becker founded, and as I mentioned in the earlier time, was part of the Zuckerberg grants in 2020. And what CEIR does, C-E-I-R, is they do something with the list and then send it back through ERIC to the states. Now, the states are required by the agreement with ERIC to contact 95% of those people on the list with a voter registration information card. And you may recall that in Colorado recently, your Secretary of State sent out 30,000 of these to non-citizens. And of course, oops, it was a mistake. But the actual mailing to do that came from your agreement with ERIC. And so what the states are saying is, we'll stay if you reform. And the reform was going to be, we're not going to send you these people that aren't registered to vote anymore. We expect you to just do your part of it to clean up the voter rolls and kind of create like an a la carte arrangement with ERIC. And they wanted David Becker, who stayed on the board at ERIC as a non-voting member, to leave, which he has resigned, and other reforms. And when ERIC, the board of ERIC, refused the reforms, states have now started to leave, and seven have left. Now, the board of ERIC is made up of the state election officials, either secretaries of state or someone else. So there were 31 members. Now there will be 24. And other states are looking at it, Texas, Alaska, and others, because it is not what it appears to be. Instead of cleaning up the voter rolls, which in our country, unfortunately, are a disaster, with millions of people on there who should not be on there. They've either moved, they've died, they've gotten married, et cetera. It became a voter registration operation. And what they did is they were pushing the states to register all these people, EBUs, as they would come to be known, who weren't getting registered at the DMV. And that's pretty much where we are. But it has its defenders. And ultimately, I think the truth will get out, because there was a huge study by an organization called Verity Vote. There's been many articles now, pieces written on research about what's really happening with ERIC. And so people are getting the word, and I think you're going to see more states leave.
Talking with Ned Jones, Deputy Director, Election Integrity Network, Virginia Institute for Public Policy. And Ned, I didn't realize or didn't even think that we'd be getting to ERIC tonight. Didn't expect you to stay so long. I'm very grateful that you did. But I've started doing some research on ERIC, may do a presentation on it, may start doing some Colorado Open Record requests. I don't know exactly what steps I might take. But one of the ways that they create chaos rather than, you know, helping more people to vote is that they will generate a separate voter ID for simple, not errors, but just simple differences in a name. Like Randy B. Corcoran and Randy Blair Corcoran could get the same, could each get a voter ID tag, or the streets, you know, 1788 South Downing versus 1788 S Downing could each create a data entry, which could create a ballot. And it, so it creates the opportunity for multiple ballots to be sent. They may wind up at the same address. But because the addresses are listed just slightly differently, Eric doesn't recognize them as the same thing. And the other thing is that there are, you know, the post office actually has a system that's much, much cheaper to access that cleans up addresses, purifies addresses. I don't know if you know this, and maybe I should talk about this on one of our calls soon, but Judicial Watch filed a lawsuit, three or four years ago here in Colorado. And I know some of the lawyers who are working on that lawsuit, and they actually have stopped all of the litigation, the discovery and everything else, because apparently there's a desire to settle this case. And, you know, I don't know Tom Fitton well, but if I know Tom Fitton, this case is not going to settle without accomplishing some serious cleanup and maybe requiring some serious reporting of the voter rolls here in Colorado, so we can really see just how many phony ballots we have in the pipeline.
Well, the other organization that has lawsuits all over the country too is Public Information Legal Foundation, PILF, as we call it. And, they're really aggressively going after cleaning up the voter rolls with litigation. And one of the things that they talk about all the time is there's a privacy clause in the ERIC contracts where the election officials aren't allowed to share the information back and forth with ERIC, and yet the federal law says it's public information. So that's just another part of the controversy that's going on right now.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I chair the largest Tea Party group here in Colorado. I'm a Republican National Committee man, so I love to go meet with Republican groups and just out in general conversation, since I'm very active politically. People are so depressed. They're just so worried. We've got a lot to be concerned about here in the country, and everybody's living on the edge financially and everything else. But I'm still filled with optimism. I feel this great.
Oh, me too.
This great awakening is happening. We've got them on the run. We've now got people trying to figure out what will they do next instead of just trying to chase them up on the backside. Why are you optimistic?
Well, because I know how I felt the day after the election in 2020. I knew everything had gone wrong. Something was happening. And now, as you start to figure it out and you get involved, it does create optimism. I feel very optimistic because I see what's happening around the country, not just here in Virginia. And it's like an awakening. And people are getting involved in the process. That's the key. The process of our elections is complicated. But if you get involved and you take it one piece at a time and you scrutinize it, you have oversight, public involvement is going to be – citizens like us are going to fix it. That's how it's going to get fixed, and we're getting involved now. So I'm very optimistic. And, you know, it's just staying ahead of it. Like you said, looking forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Ned, I've got the music in the background.
Okay.
Really grateful for a full hour with you. And I'll get the websites out and all of that for folks in the next hour. Hope you have a wonderful evening.
Thanks, Randy.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend, sir.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Wow, that was great. And Ted Nugent, the national anthem. Luis Gonzalez been doing the work. We've got it all from the Trump rally. And we'll play it in full for you next when we return here on 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.